This is Tuesday night, March the 23rd, Truth for Today Bible class, and our first half of the class will be a continuation of the study of Jacob, and we're down to chapter 26 in Genesis, chapter 26 in Genesis. We just got through with the chapter 25 where Jacob bought the birthright from Esau for a mess of pottage. Esau despised his birthright. Now, chapter 26, and there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Now, it's quite likely that this famine in the land was the reason why it was hard for Esau to find venison for his father. And probably the reason why he was so hungry is he was willing to sell his birthright for something to eat. As it says here, there was a famine also on the day of Abraham. And Abraham went down into Egypt and got into trouble, lied about his wife and said she was his sister, half-truth. And so Isaac goes down into Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar, because of a famine, and he falls into the same mistake that Abraham did. That we're anticipating a little bit, but you can see the parallel there. So he's doing like his grandfather. Now you see, the Lord didn't tell him to down to Gerar, down to Philistines. He didn't tell him to do that. He didn't tell Abraham to go down to Egypt either. And when we go our own way on things like that, we usually have to reap the consequences, you know. That's the way it works out. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down to Egypt, dwell on the land which I shall tell thee of. And that wasn't Gerar among the Philistines. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. All right, I went on and finished the sentence, which is verses 2 to 5. That's one of those sentences you can't very well read in one breath without getting into trouble. So, we don't know what that land is he'd tell him of until possibly later. He finally did get out of Gerar from among the Philistines. I remember the Philistines are part of the false seed. It was not to meddle with them. And find also that the Hittites are the same ilk, as we say. They are also children of Ishmael, and that didn't make them much better. Well, he says, Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. So it'll be all right for him, and the Lord bless thee. For unto the end, unto thy seed, I'll give all these countries. Now, we've spoken about it before, and we have to remind ourselves once in a while of that great extent of land that was promised Abraham. All of the Arabian Peninsula, from the Euphrates clear down to the Nile, north and south, east and west, from the Gulf of Persia to the Mediterranean Sea. Now, if that land were productive, as it is promised that it will be, that could take care of a large population. And, of course, if the Israel is to be as the stars of the heaven, why, there will be quite a population. Now, they haven't numbered the stars of the heaven yet. They don't know how many there are. They've counted a lot of them, and they're guessing that there are more, and that's about all we know about it. And so, I suspect it'd be pretty hard even today to try to take a census of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In fact, most of the folks don't know whether they're Jews or not. They claim they're Jews. Really, they don't know. And then notice in verse 5 that the word my is used 5 times. Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Notes, he starts out, my voice. Well, the voice in your notes says is to be heard and believed. And of course that is true. We only gain salvation by believing God, what he said. And then there is a charge, and that was something that was to be observed, and his commandments were to be obeyed, his statutes or decrees were to be acknowledged, and his laws instructions, that is, the laws or instructions to be followed. I get it. So there are 5 things. Well, now, I think that we could do well to just take a look at those and sort of sort them out and see how they fit in today. Maybe they're still practical, but probably aren't very many folks are trying them and obeying them. Well, that's quite a word for Abraham. Abraham obeyed. He listened to God when he spoke. And he kept his charge and he kept the commandments he gave to Abraham, the statutes and his laws. Well, I'm afraid that you can't quite say that about Jacob, the one we're studying, Abraham's grandson. Well, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. That's where he moved to. Now, Gerar is down the southern part of Palestine and a few miles inland from the Mediterranean, not very far from Gaza, the great stronghold and capital of the Philistines. Now, when he moved from there, and we're anticipating, he moved over to Beersheba, which is just a few miles east and just a bit north. Now, if you take your map and look up all of those things, you'll get some idea of what's going on. And it is a good idea to use your maps. If you don't have some in your Bible, why hunt for another Bible that does have them. Or sometimes you can get a hold of a Bible atlas and so on. There's a great number of ways of getting hold of these. I happen to have a map here and don't remember even how I got it. It's one big folding map, fold up. And it's printed in Nazareth in Palestine. And especially for tourists to find the old places that are historic. A guide with the roads and so on. I just don't remember now where I got it, but it's a helpful little map, except that there are a few things I'd like to know that aren't on it. Well, so much for that. Now, verse 7 is in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife. I don't know why it is that men are always asking about some other fellow's wife. And he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebecca, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebecca, his wife, caressing her, as a man would his wife. And, of course, that was a dead giveaway. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety she is thy wife. And how sayest thou, she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, well, what is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might have lightly lain with thy wife, and thou shouldst have brought guiltiness upon us. Now, remember, this Abimelech is a Philistine, an idolater and so on, and yet he very clearly recognizes the God of heaven, the God of Jacob, of Isaac. You notice his words as we go through. You see, there were a lot of times in the Bible, just as it is now, that they feared God and worshipped other gods. Ever notice those expressions? Yes, they feared God, but they worshipped other gods. Or idols. And so that's what these Philistines did. Remember, the Philistines had as one of their main gods Dagon, the god, the fish god, god of the sea. And that's why that they baptized people with the immersion. Of course, they were also worshippers of Baal, which was a very common god of that time, worshipped in Babylonia and Egypt and all over. And of course, you remember the contest that the prophet Elijah had with the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. And of course, these 400 prophets of Baal were the special pets of the Queen Jezebel. And she had them eat at her table, and she clothed them and so on. She kept 400 prophets. Well, I don't need to tell you the outcome of that story. The God of heaven came out best. Well, and Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Now, he says that because he recognizes that here is a man of God that has some special purpose or something. He realizes that this man, Isaac, is not a just general run of men. And a man who walks with the Lord, you know, that shows, and people recognize it. Well, then Isaac sowed in that land. Now, there'd been a famine up above, up farther north. He sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. 100-fold. That is, for every bushel of wheat he sowed, he got 100 bushels. That's a pretty good crop, isn't it? Some of the folks who farm, I think, would say so. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great. He just became great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks, possession of herds, great store, or I don't know, you can say flock of servants. I think there's another word here. I just forgot. Body. A body is servants, yes. And the Philistines envied him. Naturally, they would. When a man has something of these words, goods, why, people envy him. Of course, now, if he's a very spiritual man and he has all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places and all like that, they aren't likely to envy him. Rather, they'll find fault with him. And people who used to lay up treasures in heaven weren't too much thought of either. Like Paul the Apostle, the 12 apostles, and so on. They were really rich. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. Now, I don't know why they did that. There's always these vandals that are always trying to destroy things and undo good things that people do and so on, destroying public property. You let a house stand vacant about 2 or 3 days out in this part of the country, and the windows all be stoned out, window frames and so on broken, and be a wreck. Vandals. Can't keep a mailbox up. And there are a lot of other things that happen all the time. Now, you want to know where that word vandal comes from? Well, there was a tribe of people that were called that way back in the days of the Caesars in Rome. And they were destructive people. Wherever they went and conquered, they destroyed everything. They just wouldn't leave anything standing. They called them vandals. And so that is the name used today. People who enjoy destroying things. Destructive. Now, that is a sort of phobia because there are certain kinds of insanity in which people are destructive. So there's probably a rather close connection there. Demon possession and all that sort of thing. Well, Abraham had dug wells, and the Philistines had come along afterwards and filled them up. Didn't have gumption enough, I suppose, to use them. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, "Go from us, for our much mightier than we. He says, "You just get out of here, go away somewhere, because you're just getting too big for us." And Isaac departed thence. Now remember, this Isaac is an easygoing fellow. He never fights. He doesn't quarrel with his neighbors. I don't think he ever quarreled with his wife. And as we go on, we'll find that she wasn't just exactly an angel. And so it goes. And so he departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And that's just a little way from Gerar, the valley. He doesn't go all the way yet. And Isaac digged again the walls of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names of which his father had called them. So the names are coming back again. I remember back in those days a well was a very valuable thing. That was practically a desert. And in somewhere in the valley or in the hillside or somewhere they could find water, why, that was valuable. It was a lifesaver in time of drought especially. And they had drought there a great deal of the year. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water is ours." They were too lazy to dig it themselves. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and they called the name of it Sitnah. Now let's see here. Sitnah, opposition, in their notes. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth, that is roominess, plenty of room. And he said, "For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Well, he didn't stay there very long. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. Well, note that when he went down toward Gerar, the Lord appeared to him. Didn't appear anymore to him until he left there. So now, as soon as he gets over to Beersheba, and out of the Philistines, away from the Philistines, why, the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, "I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake, if not for your sake." And he built an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged the well. Well, now he's getting settled down for a while at least. Got an altar. He hadn't built that over among the Philistines. And he called upon the name of the Lord, Jehovah, and pitched his tent there, and his servants digged the well. Now with all the flocks and the herds and so on, what more did you wish? Well, then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of the army. A Phicol is simply a term of position or whatever, not an actual personal name. And he's the chief captain of the army, so that would be his rank. And Isaac said unto them, "Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me and have sent me away from you? Now what are you bothering me now for?" That's the sum of substance of what he was saying. "Why are you coming to bother me now?" And they said, "We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace, art now the blessed of the Lord." Afraid of him, aren't they? And they want to get his word that he won't get his servants and so on together and come up and fight them, maybe take their city and so on. Well, that was the way it was back in that land at that time. There were kings that had small cities. A king might have only 700 to 1,000 or 2 people under him. A city with some walls around it and some of the country round about to farm, and that was a kingdom. And Abraham was rated as one of those. He had quite a quantity of servants and flocks and so on, and quite a number of tents, you see, for his group. I say tents because Abraham did not live in houses after he left Ur of the Chaldees. He did there, but not after, because he was looking for a city that has foundations. And he showed his faith by not settling down in a house here on the earth. And so Isaac is following somewhat the same thing. We don't find Isaac living in a house or in a city either. On the contrast, Abraham's nephew Lot pitched his tent down toward Sodom, and the first thing you know, he was living in a house in Sodom. And you know the consequences. When you go and live in Sodom, you're going to get in trouble. And so he made these fellows a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes in the morning and swore one to another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. Well, that's to the good. That's the good of saying we found oil. And he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. And you'll find it on your maps. And you can go and visit it. And then we have a jar right here. Something comes in. The last two verses. And Esau, I thought we'd forgotten him. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bathshemoth, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. So he took him two wives, double trouble, and there was the Hittites, who were the nations of the land that was these nations to be destroyed by Israel later on. False seed. And this was a grief of mind unto Isaac and Rebekah. Now remember, this is going to come up again in a chapter or two. So don't forget about Esau marrying these two girls of the Hittites. And he was 40 years old. All right, we jump a few years now. We jump from 1796 down to about 1759, as the date is in the margin. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, about 137, and that's when his half-brother Ishmael died, at the age of 137, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son, and he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. Now really the word is hunting. Take me something, or that's your hunting. It could be most any of the animals that they hunted at a time for food. It could be a wild goat, or it could be deer, or whatever. And it says, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And now here we find a weakness of Esau. He loves to eat. He likes a lot of meat. And that weakness overcomes his faith for a little bit. He knew very well. And when these boys were born, Jacob and Esau, that Jacob was to be counted as the firstborn and receive the inheritance and the blessing. He knew that very well. But you see, he liked the meat that Esau brought him because he was a man of the field. He was hunting all the time and so on. He didn't have time to do chores around home. On the other hand, Jacob was a mother's pet. And I imagine he hung around in the kitchen and learned to cook and all that sort of thing. And so there you have trouble when father and mother have favorites among the children, don't you? Yes, that's the start of trouble. And it did with these. It's something one has to be very careful about. And especially when the father, he picks one of the children as his favorite, and the mother picks one of the children as her favorite, and then, you see, you can't fool these children. That's where the trouble gets. And he said, he's getting about ready to die. Well, he said he's 137, and he died when he was 180, so he lived another 43 years. He just had kind of a sinking spell here, maybe a sick spell or something, because he got pretty husky again. I don't know if his eyes got better or not. It probably did. So keep those things in mind, too. That's getting pretty good age for in that particular time. And Rebecca heard. I don't know, her eavesdropping or what she was doing. Of course, in tents, living in tents and so on. You can hear a great deal. And remember that the women, a wife had a tent of her own, so she could have all of her fixings and so on, a privacy. And servants had their tents. Probably when the boys got old enough, they got their own tents. Just like they have rooms and so on, and houses in their homes today. And so he just wants Isaac to go out. I'll get it after a while. Esau. All right, thinking too many ways at once. All right. He wants Esau to go out and get him something to eat like he likes to eat. And Rebecca heard it. And not only that, but she heard what he said about something else then. That blessing before he died. A blessing. Now Jacob's already gotten the inheritance and was counted as a firstborn and so on. But he needed the blessing. Well, you can begin to see the scheming side of the nature of Rebecca. She was Jacob's best friend and his worst enemy, can you put it that way? Well, he's pretty good about minding what she says. That's one thing you say about Jacob. There aren't too many good things you say about Jacob until he got to be around 96, 7 years old. Now that's a lot of time for a fellow to sow his wild oats and be of his own way, isn't it? And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. And she's worried. She doesn't want Esau to get that blessing. She wants her favorite, Jacob, to get it because he already has the birthright. Now, she's going to give some advice. And she's going to give him, well, is it good advice? Let's see. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Now, that'd be all right for a lad of 17 or 18, now, wouldn't it? For the mother to tell him to mind her. But do you realize that Jacob was a little lad of 77 at that time? And his mother is still bossing him. Think of that. Never did get to be his own boss till he left home. He says, Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. She's going to fix it up so we never know, but what if it was wild meat from out in the desert? And probably she was a pretty good cook. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. Now she's teaching him to lie and to deceive and to cheat, so on. The mother is doing that to her son. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. We'd read about that before. Hair all over his body. And I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Now notice here, Jacob is not above doing this at all. The only thing he's afraid of is getting caught. You see, there's a philosophy among a lot of people today. It's all right to cheat and steal and so forth just so you don't get caught. And that was the philosophy that Jacob had. He didn't want to get caught. He didn't want to be found a deceiver. He wasn't above deceiving at all. He'd do that, but he didn't want to get caught. And his mother said unto him, "Upon me be thy curse, my son. I'll take the responsibility," she says. "Only obey my voice and go fetch me them." And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest sons Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. Now, when it says goodly raiment there, it's talking about raiment that he wore as a firstborn. And that was special. It was good. And bore special marks and designs and so on. Remember that when Joseph was made the firstborn, although he was the 11th son, his father gave him a coat of many colors. And that distinguished him as a prince, the firstborn. And so Rebekah takes some of the clothes that Esau wore and put them on Jacob. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck, so he'd feel hairy in case that Isaac should feel of him. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" And Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." He's making a pretty good entrance here, anyhow. And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And a famine on a path. And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." Now you see, he wasn't above lying and even bringing the Lord and his name into it. That's like swearing falsely, isn't it? And that's practically a blasphemy. And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He began to get a little suspicious. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." Lies again. And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now, and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is the smell of the field, which the Lord hath blessed." And remember this, the people's clothes do have each one a peculiar smell. And people who are near to them and so on can recognize it if they are a little perceptive. Now here's the blessing. "Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine." Well, that's plenty to eat. "Let peoples," as plural, "serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed is to be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. That was a narrow squeak, wasn't it? Now notice that blessing. "Let peoples serve thee, and nations bow down to thee." And that has been fulfilled. "Be Lord over thy brethren." And he was over his brethren, excepting not over Jacob. In fact, he never was lord over any of the seed of Abraham until around the time of Solomon or later. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Now you see, the descendants of Esau are what we call the Mohammedans today. And, of course, you see, they look back to Esau as their father, saying he actually was the firstborn. And they claim that they have a temple that Esau and Ishmael built. Well, there's a lot of things. You want to study Islam a little bit, a lot of things about them. I always remember one thing, that they have a final test as to whether a man will go into paradise or not, and that is he has to walk over a deep chasm on a hair pulled from Allah's beard. Or not Allah, but his prophet. What was prophet of Islam? Name goes away from me right now. Anyhow, that is one of their superstitions. They have a lot of them, as most religions have. Well, verse 31, and he, that is, Esau, had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly. And that's just a pretty good expression or translation of the Hebrew. He got the shaking all over. And said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest? And have blessed him. And then his faith comes to the top. And says, yea, and he shall be blessed. Knew all along what he should have done, see. Now he realizes that both of them have been trapped. And that's what it amounts to. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob, the heel snatcher, supplanter, for he has supplanted me these two times, both in the matter of the birthright and now in the blessing. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? Isn't there anything left? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him, and what shall I do now unto thee, my son? Maybe Isaac can suggest something, or Esau. And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. This is a 40-year-old man weeping, bitterly disappointed. Well, why didn't he stay at home and mind business instead of roaming the fields all the time? Of course, nowadays he'd roam the fields playing golf instead of hunting like he did, maybe. And Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be, and notice your note, far from the fatness of the earth, and far from the dew of heaven from above. In other words, he's going to live in the desert. And he did. And most of his descendants are still living in desert country. And by the sword shalt thou live. And who have been fiercer fighters than the Muslims? Especially the Turks who belong to that particular one. Read the stories of the history of the Crusades. How fierce fighters they were. And so he says, by thy sword shalt thou live. In other words, they were preying on other people. And shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass that thou shalt have, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke across thy neck. And so many, many years later, he revolted. I forget now how many years it was. Maybe it tells you here in the note. I've forgotten whether it's here or not. At any rate, it was a long time. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, I'll get even. The days of the mourning of my father are at hand. He was fooled too, thinking that the old man was about ready to die. And of course, Isaac thought so too. And he says, then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. There's always somebody tapping, somebody's telling you, you know what's going on. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, proposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Again, she's giving advice. And arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran. Now that's pretty close, 250 miles north, way up at the Euphrates River, Haran, where Abraham had come from Ur of the Chaldees. And remember, Laban was her brother. And tarry with him a few days. Again, mistaken. It was not a few days, it was more than a few years. It was right around 20 years. And not only that, but when Jacob left, he never saw his mother again alive. She died while he was gone. Tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. She thought that Esau would forget it, and he was a type of fellow who wouldn't carry a grudge, not as long as Jacob would. He was an easygoing fellow, liked to go out in the fields and hunt and so on, and he didn't have time to carry a grudge. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that thou hast what thou hast done unto them, him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And that's a little problem for some people, but that's not too hard. For if Esau would kill Jacob, that'd be one son gone. Then the avenger would kill Esau, and so the other would be gone. That was the law of the land. Somebody of the family would be the avenger. And so it'd be an eye for an eye and tooth for tooth and so on, even before the law of Moses was brought on to Sinai. So she knew very well that she might lose both sons. And Rebekah said to Isaac, now she's got to get an excuse to get Jacob out of here, and she's going to have it done all right now. I will tell you something, that lots and lots of stories of this and sermons and so on will tell you that Jacob sneaked away at night. I have a book here, 101 years old, in which fellow has some sermons about Jacob, and that's the very thing he's putting in there. He sneaked away in the night, left home, and so on. But it isn't what the Bible says. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth, those Hittite girls. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? She's working around now for something. And we'll have to find out what that is the next time. So we're leaving off here at a very, very interesting place in a continued story.